Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Zayin. We begin at the very top, Yud Zayin with Aleph, with the new Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to be discussing a series of four, and then somewhat the fifth pasuk from Parashas Nasa, which deals with a Nazir. I'm going to read to you all of the four pasukim right now that we're dealing with primarily in the Mishnah, and explain them briefly, and then point out now what the argument, we're going to have a three-room machlokas as to which parts of these four psukim have to be erased. We'll have the opinion of the Tanakhama, which we'll see is Rav Meir, which is a middle position. We have the position of Rav Yossi, which is a very machmir position. And then we have the opinion of Rav Yehuda, which is a very meikel position. Meikel and machmir refer to how much of the psukim are erased. Rav Yossi has a machmir position, that a lot of the psukim are erased. And Rav Yehuda has a more meikel position, the very little of the psukim is erased, and Rav Meir is somewhere in between. So, these psukim are from the Parsha of Noso, the fifth parak in Bamidbar, with Pasuk Yotes. And it tells us, V'hishbia usa ha-kohen, the kohen has to go and swear her. And he says, V'amar ala isha, im lo shachav isha soch, if no man has slept with you, v'im lo sotis tumot tachas ishech, and if you didn't commit this turning away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and committing tumah with this adulterer, then hinaki mimei hamorim, then the waters will make you clean. They won't harm you in any way. You'll be cleansed from these waters of the bitter waters. Hamorim, mei hamorim, hamorim, ha'ila, these waters. In other words, this is saying, if you did not sin, you will in fact not be punished. The converse of that is, if you did sin, you will be punished. And this is miklalab at Omer Hain. From the negative, you see the positive. So the pasuk tells us, if you did not sin, then you will not be punished by these waters. That's the negative. The positive is, if you did sin, then you will be punished by these waters. That's pasuk Yotes. Then we go to pasuk Chof. Pasuk Chof tells us, but va'at ki sotis tachas ishech, if in fact you did sin under your husband and you committed adultery, v'chinit meis, and you became nebuch tomei, v'hitein ish boch es shechopto mibalade ishech, by having another man have relations with you other than your husband. So that's pasuk Chof. Then it continues, pasuk Chof Aleph. So pasuk Chof is clearly the, if you did this aveira, then pasuk Chof Aleph, this is what's going to happen. V'hishbiya ha-kohen eso isha bishvuas ha'olah, the kohen has to make the woman swear this shvua. The Amar Kohen Lisha, and the Kohen says to the Isha, "Yitain Hashem Oskol Li'Allah V'Lishvua V'Sol Chamech, that you shall go and be for your people to be a curse for all of the Jewish people." B'Seis Hashem Esirichech No Feles V'Yespit Leich Tzava, and Hashem will cause that your thighs will fall, V'Yespit Leich Tzava, and your stomach will swell up. As we already pointed out previously, the curse that he's given here is it starts, he curses first with the thighs, which started with the pleasure, and then her belly, which subsequently had the pleasure. But in the actual occurrence of the actual curse, that we go to the next pasuk Chobeis, Ubo Amayim Hamorim Mu'ela Bimayach, she will go and drink these bitter waters, and they will first enter into her stomach, and if she's guilty, Latzmos Bet, then they will call her stomach to swell up, the Lanpo Yorech, and her thighs to fall down, and that's the Shvua, the Amro Isha, Amen, Amen. And the woman has to respond to that, yes, I agree, yes, I agree. Okay, those are the four psukim. Now, we're going to darsh in them as follows. We go back to the Mishnah, top of Yud Zayin with Aleph, with the Mishnah stating, Balo Lichtovis and Megillah. The Kohen has to go now write down the Megillah. This is after he has sworn her to do all of these things, and now he writes down the Megillah that will eventually be erased and will be put into the Mei Sota. So the Kohen now is writing the Megillah. What does he have to write? So he writes from these psukim, from Perek Hei, Pasuk Yotes through Chav Beis, and this is what he writes according to the Tanakam, which we'll see is Reb Meir. He only writes Mei from Im Lo Shachav Ish V'Gomer. The word Vav isn't there, it's not V'im. The Pasuk tells us Im Lo Shachav Ish Osoch V'im Lo Sotis Tuma Tachas Yishech Hinoki Mimei Hamarim Hamarim Ha'ela. That's the rest of Pasuk Yotes. He doesn't read the first part, which is telling us V'ishbi Osah Kohen V'am Elo Isha. He doesn't have to write that part down. Then he writes from the next pasuk chav, v'at ki sotis tachas ishech. He says the entire pasuk chav that if Rachmon Lusan she did sin and she becomes tmeya, so he has to write down the entire pasuk chav, but he doesn't write down the beginning of pasuk chafalef. Ain't no kosev the beginning of pasuk chafalef v'yishbia kohen eso isha, because that's instructions, and according to the Tanakhama, Rav Meir, you don't write down the instructions, you just write down the actual curses, and we'll prove this from Sukkim in a moment. And then he continues, Vekosev, he writes the rest of Pasuk Chof Aleph, Yitain Hashem Osach, La'alav L'shvua, etc., etc. And then he writes down Pasuk Chof Beis, Uva Amai Mamorim Ma'ele, B'mayayich, Latzbos Betim, Elan Pil Yorech, but he doesn't have to write down the Eino Kosev, the end of Pasuk Chof Beis, V'yomro Isha, Amen, Amen. So basically, according to Rameyer, he writes down all the curses, both the positive and the negative curses that are found, meaning the negative, she didn't sin, then she won't be punished. He writes that down. If she did sin, she will be punished, and he writes down what the punishment will be, but he doesn't write down the instructions. That is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, which we'll see is Rav Meir. Then we have Rav Yosef, who's even more expansive. He writes down even all the instructions. Rav Yosef Omer, lo hayomafsik, he wouldn't skip anything. He'd write from the very beginning of Pasuk Yates all the way through to the end of Pasuk Hapes, including writing the instructions. So that's the most expansive verbiage, according to Rav Yossi, more so than even Rav Meir. And then finally, the least expansive version, Rav Yehuda, the third opinion, Rav Yehuda Omer, kol atzmo eno kosev, if he doesn't write down anything, ella, except that actual curse. Yiten Hashem osach li'olav l'shvul v'gomer, he writes down pasuk chaf in the middle, where the actual curse is, and he goes until the end of that curse, which includes all of pasuk chaf, the rest of it, all of pasuk chaf aleph without the instructions, and Pasuk Chav Beis, Uba Amai Amar Me'ela B'Meyayach V'Gomer. But he doesn't write down any of the instructions in the middle, and he doesn't write down the instructions at the end. Ve'eno Kosev Amar Isha Amen Amen. Now, those are the three opinions. Why? The Maikom Iflagit, what are they arguing about? Why does the Tanna Kamma say different than Rav Yosef, who says different than Rav Yehuda? So they all darshan the following Pasuk in a different way. Bahai Kro Komifligi, they're arguing on this Pasuk, which is the next Pasuk here, which is Pasuk Chav Gimel. Because it says there, Bekasat es ho'alo so'ela ha'kohen ba'sefer. After the kohen makes her swear, she says, amen, amen, then we have to write it down. So the pasuk says, then the kohen will write down three words, es ho'alo so'ela. And he has to write this down, ha'kohen ba'sefer. Now, how do we darshan those words, es ho'alo so'ela? So Rameyer, the Tanna Kamma, darshans them as follows. Rameyer Savar, Olos, when it said the word olos, not ha'olos, just if it said olos, that would imply olos mamish, the actual curses themselves. So that would have included the middle part of Pasuk Chof Aleph and the beginning part of Pasuk Chof Beis. Those are the actual curses that are said, that Yitain Hashem Osach, Le'olav, L'shvua, etc., Uba Mayim Amarim, Ha'elah B'meyayich, etc., etc. Just the actual curses. If it just said olos, that's what we would write. However, it said ha'olos, the extra hay there, is coming to be marbe, according to Rebeyer. Lerabos, to add, klolos, habos, machmas, barachos. The klolos that are implied, because there is a bracha here too that says that if the woman did not sin, she will be blessed. So therefore, those psukim, the beginning of your test, with the exception of the instructions, tells us that if the woman did not sin, then there will be cleansed. The Mayim Hamarim will not hurt her in any way. So from the hey in ha alos, that's how we learn that as well, to write that down too. Now we go on to the next word. It says, Vikosav es ha alos ha ele. So again, we have ele and ha ele. So we darshan out over here. From the word ele is lema'ute klalosh in Mishneh Torah. One might have thought that we should go and write down over here all the klalos, all the curses that we have. For example, the Tosu Shans brings down, and you can see this in Dibra Maschel, Ya'akecho Hashem b'shachepes u'b'kadachas. These are the curses that we find in Dvarim, in the Tochecha. So one might have thought that we should include those curses as well. Then why not the Tochecha that's found in Vayikra? So he teaches us, because these curses are written not b'rabim, but they're written b'yechidus. And therefore, the ones in Mishneh Torah that are in the Lashon Yochid, we had a hava, meaning to think that they should be included here. The Tochecha that is in Vayikra, so we have no hava, meaning they should be here, because it's the Lashon Rabin. In any event, that's the way the Tosafot Shans understands it. Rashi seems to understand it the same way in one place, but seems to understand it differently in another place. In one place, Rashi says it's only talking about the Tochecha in Dvarim, but not talking about the Tochecha in Vayikra. In another place, he seems to say that we would have had a hava, meaning to write down the Tochecha in Vayikra as well. In any event, the word Eile tells us to write down only these curses that are found by Sota in Naso, and not the curses that are found in either of the Tochachas. So that's the word Eile. But it says ha'ele. What's the extra hey? Lima'ute, to come to exclude the tzavos, the kabalos, amei. The instructions, the hishviya, and you should amra isha, amein v'amein. So all of those types of things you don't write down. That is the opinion of Rav Meir. Now, Rav Yossi darshins the same psukim, but in a different way. Rav Yossi, how does he darshin this psukim? Es ha'olo so'ele. So he darshins as follows. He says, kulu kidekamris. I agree with you, Rav Meir, on the first three. I understand why it says ha'olos. I agree with you. And then ele, I agree with you on that as well. But the one drush I disagree with you is the hey from ha'ele. I don't darshan that, because I think that's part of the normal language here. But I darshan the word es, ho'olo sa'ela. Es is lirabos savos v'kabolos. The extra word es, according to Rav Yossi, comes to be marba, all the instructions and her response. And the hey at the end, ho'ela, Rav Yossi doesn't darshan. He says that's the normal usage of the word, and therefore there is no drasha that comes from it. As Rashi points out, at the end of Dibra Masu Kulu, he says, the hey, de ha'ele, ulchihu, that's the normal way the pasuk has to be written. So that's the most expansive shita of Rav Yossi. No, why doesn't Rav Meir darshan like that? Rav Meir, because he doesn't darshan like that, because he says, es em lo darish. He doesn't have the word es, ha'olos ha'ele, to darshan. So therefore, he darshans each of the four drashos, ha'olos, ha'ele, in the way that we mentioned. Okay, so that's the difference between the Tanakam, Rav Meir, and Rav Yossi. What about Rav Yehuda, the least expansive form? Rav Yehuda, kulu b'miute dorish lu. He darshans everyone in the most minimalistic way as possible. Whereas Rav Meir had darshaned the hay in ha'olos as a ribui, and only the hay in ha'ela as a miut. Rav Yehuda darshans both of them as a miut. Rav Yehuda, kulu b'miute dorish lu. So olos is exactly the way we said it. Olos mamish. It's only those actual curses. So everybody agrees to that. But then, ha'olos, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi had used that as a ribui to add on Pasuk Yutes, which was Michlal Lav Atashumeh Hain. But according to Rav Yehuda, Limute Klolos Habos Machmas Brachos. Ha'olos comes to exclude those Klolos Habos Machmas Brachos. So they're excluded, not included. Then we have the word Eila. That's Lema'ute Klolos Mishnah Torah. He agrees that that comes to exclude all the Klolos that are in Mishnah Torah, that are in the Tochacha in Devarim. And the hey there is also a Miyad. Ha'ele Lema'ute Tzavos V'Kabolos. He agrees that that comes to exclude all the instructions and her response. Fine. So that's the Shita of Rav Yehuda, the most minimalistic Shita. Notice that Rav Yehuda had darshan, as I pointed out, both heys as a Miyad. But Rav Meir had darshan one hay as a ribui and one hay as a miut. So the Gemara questions that and says, Rav Meir, maishno hay hay demar bebe, umaishno hay hay demar bebe. According to Rav Meir, we seem to have a difference. Sometimes the hay is a ribui, sometimes it's a miut. According to Rav Yehuda, the hay is always a miut. Very good. No problem. But why would one hay be a ribui and one hay be a miut? That's the kasha we now ask of Rav Meir. The Gemara gives the obvious teretz. Hay de gabe de ribuya, that hay which is found by a ribui. Ha'olos, so the olos was to come to be inclusive, so ha'olos there is also ribui, it comes to be including even more. And the hay that is the gabe dimiyuta, the second hay, es ha'olos ha'ele, there ele was excluding something, so even Ramea says that that hay is going to be dimiyuta, and therefore hay the gabe dimiyuta, miyuta. Very good, Ramea makes sense. We just have one last question left. We had implied that Rav Meir does hold Michlal Lav Ata Shomea Hein, because we said we do include the Pasuk Yutes, the beginning, because it says, if you did not sin, you will not be punished. And we said that's because if you did sin, you will be punished, and that implies Michlal Lav Ata Shomea Hein. But the Gemara says, but Rav Meir doesn't hold like that. We have proof from the Tanai of Reuven and Bnei Gad, where we learn at the dinam of a tanai, the Rav Meir says, "Kol tanai she'enu kitanai b'nei God u'b'nei Reuven." Any tanai that does not exactly follow the rules of b'nei God u'b'nei Reuven, where it listed, if you do not go into the land of Eretz Yisrael, then you will not be given the Eivar Yarden, and if you do go into the land of Eretz Yisrael, you will be given the Eivar Yarden. In other words, you need to say both the positive and the negative. If you only say one and not the other, by implication, It's not true. And therefore, Rav Meir doesn't hold Michlal Lav Atashamehain. In fact, as Rashi concludes, he says, Michlal Lav Lo Tishmahain. So here's a question. Why does Rav Meir therefore include the first Pasuk, Pasuk Yates, which seems to only be included because Michlal Lav Atashamehain? Because if you did not sin, you will not be punished, and only therefore implication, if you do sin, you will be punished. But if you don't hold like this, so then why was it included? So Amar of Tanchum, Rabbi Tanchum says, the Pasuk said, he naki, don't read it as he naki, but read it as ksiv, as if it said, chi naki. Therefore, it is a curse. It's not an implication. It's if you did not sin, you won't be cursed, but if you did sin, chi naki, he naki, you will be choked. In other words, it is an actual curse, and not mechlalab atashamehain, and that's why Rav Meir includes it. Okay, so now we've completed the drushos of the three Tanoim. We finally conclude and say, Dorish Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva Darshan as follows. He said, Ish ve'isha, a man and a wife, zochu, if they're good with each other, if they're zochet, they have a wonderful relationship, and they don't, rachmana litzlan, do all sorts of isurim, so then shchina b'neihem, then the shchina stays between them. Lo zochu, rachmana litzlan, if they commit adultery, if they do things that are improper between a husband and a wife, so then eish ochalton, then a fire will consume them, a fire will eat them up. And this is alluded to from the fact that the word ish has a yud between the aleph and the shin, which spells eish, and the isha has a hey at the end, and it also has the letters aleph and shin, which spell eish. So therefore, if they're together and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present with them, there's a yud and a hey, the shechina is present, so then Zoha, they're wonderful. They're having a wonderful marriage, and the Shechina is present. But if they aren't Zoha to have a good marriage, Rachman al-Sam, they commit adultery, so then Eish Ochlasa, the Shechina leaves, the Yud and the He leave, and you're left with just the fire. Eish, Eish. Rava adds to this drasha, Rabbi Kiva, and he says, Oh, Rava, Udi'isha Adifa Midi'ish. The woman who Rachman al-Islam's sin is done, so then that's worse than the man. Why is that? My Taima. Some aren't cursed the word my Taima. In any event, Hai Mitzare, Vailo Mitzare, because Isha has the Eish of Aleph and Shin together. The Hay is separate from it, whereas the Yud in Ish is in between the Aleph and the Shin. The fire is not as strong, so to say. In any event, Rav is saying that the Isha, Adifa Midish, the adultery that the woman commits is in many ways worse than that which the man commits. Amar Rav, he adds further, Mibnei Ma Amra Torah, Hove Ofer L'Sota, bring the dirt to the sota, and if she drinks it, and it turns out that she wasn't guilty, zochsa, she's found not to have sinned, yotzi mimena bein ki Avram Avinu, she'll be zochet to have a child, like an Avram Avinu, that's the bracha. If she's not guilty, and she drinks the mei ma'arim, so she'll be blessed with having a son, like Avram Avinu. Where do we see that from? Dixit, because Avram Avinu said, dixit bei, anochi, Ofar va'efer. So we see that in this situation, Avram Avinu compares himself to Ofar. So if this woman drinks the Ofar and nothing happens to her, in other words, she wasn't guilty, so she'll be zochah to have a son. About who's such a son? Avram Avinu, it was said, Anochi Ofar va'efer. But Rachmana Litzlan, if she did commit adultery, lo zochsar, so then tachzor li'afara. So then the illusion from the dirt is that she'll return to the dirt. From dust you come, from dust you go. So therefore, this woman will in fact go back to the dirt. In other words, she will be killed. Furthermore, Rava says, Dorish Rava, he darshins bischari shamar Avram Avinu v'enoch yofa v'efer. In the zchus, in the merit that Avram Avinu said, I am nothing to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm ofar, I'm dirt and ashes, ofar v'efer. So zochu bana l'shnei mitzvos. The Jewish people were zochu to have the two mitzvos of efer para, kineged the efer of anochi ofar v'efer, and the afar sota to have the wonderful bracha of having the sota be able to be returned to her husband if, in fact, she is not guilty by drinking the mei sota, by drinking the afar mixed into the waters of the sota. So, in the schus of Avraham Avinu saying, Anochi ofar v'efer, I'm nothing, I'm a gurnish, I'm dirt, and I'm ashes, so his children benefited from having efer para and ofar sota. So, Gemara says, why did you mention kisui adam? But ikonami afar kisui adam. Why did only these two get mentioned? Maybe it means kisui adam. So, Gemara gives a very practical answer. It says, by Kisui Adam, the animal that was shechted, the birds or the chaya, the deer, let's say, they were all permitted. Whether you do Kisui Adam or not, the animal is still permitted. So the mitzvah of Kisui Adam is just that. It's a pure mitzvah, but it doesn't provide you any additional benefit directly. Well, of course, a mitzvah provides you unbelievable, unparalleled, infinite benefit, but it doesn't provide you a direct benefit in this world. So hasam heksha mitzvah ika hanoleka. In regards to doing the Kisui Adam, yeah, you did a mitzvah called Kisui Adam, but you got no direct benefit from it. As opposed to the Efer Parah, so that made a person tahar. He now can go do certain things, eat certain things, etc. And the Afer Sota returned the woman to her husband. So each of them gave you a direct physical benefit, as opposed to the Kisui Adam didn't give you a direct physical benefit. Therefore, that's not what Rava Darshan, the words when Avraham Avinu said, Anochi Ofer Vefer, the benefits that his children got from that. Another drasha from Rava, Dorash Rava, Bishar Shamar Avraham Avinu, in the schus that Avraham Avinu said to Melech Sedom, Im Michut V'Atzroch Nal, Im Akach Mikol HaShelach, V'lo Samarini HaShardi Es Avraham. So in the schus of Avraham Avinu telling Stone that Melech Sedom, that he didn't want to take anything from him, he says, I won't even take from you. Im Michut, from a string of thread, or even a shoelace, V'Atzroch Nal, I'm not going to take anything from you. And therefore, in that great reward for Avraham Avinu not taking anything from him, Melech Sedom wanted to give him everything for helping him out. And Avraham Avinu said, no, I don't want to be made rich from you. So in that zechus, for not willing to taking the money that Melech Sedom wanted to give it to him, so zochu banu l'shtei mitzvos, the Klai Yisrael, the children of Avraham Avinu, was zochu to be given these two mitzvos for which we get great benefit from, the chut shel techeles and the ritzur shel tefillah, the blue-colored string on our tzitzis, the techeles on the tzitzis, and the straps of our tefillin. So Gemara says, what physical benefit do we get from these two? So Gemara says, Bishlama Ritzuan Shel Tefillin, the straps of the tefillin, we understand that they are a great benefit to Klai Yisrael, because Dichsiv, Verol Chalmei Aretz Kishem Hashem Nikro Alecha, because the Goyim will see the tefillin on your head, they'll see Kishem Hashem Nikro Alecha, that the name of Hashem is upon you, and the Ritzuos, they spell out the Dalet in the back knot of the Tefillah Shel Rosh, and on the boxes themselves, you have the shin. So you have the shin and the dalet, two of the letters of the shem Shakai of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when the goyim see you wearing your tefillin, Betanya, Rabbi Lezer, Agad Lomer, Elu tefillin Shirosh, this reference to the pasuk that the goyim will be Kishem Hashem Nikro Alecha when they see you wearing your tefillin Shirosh, that's the great benefit that the goyim will be afraid of us and they'll be in awe of us. So therefore, we understand the great benefit of being given the Ritzur Shel Tefillin Imichot Yatzroch Nal. So we understand that the Ritzur of the tefillin was in the Zuchus of the Sroch Nal. Fine. But what benefit do we have from the Tchelis? Ella chut shel tchelis maihi. What exactly benefit do we get from the chut of tchelis? So before we dash in that, I'll say the favorite part from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon said, but we see that the Goyim aren't always afraid of a Jew wearing tefillin. So the pasuk, the Vilna Gaon explains, says elu tefillin she ba rosh. It's not the tefillin al harosh. It's not when they see the tefillin on your head, they say, oh wow, that guy's a Jew, I better stay away from him. They see that the tefillin are inside of you. The tefillin are inculcated in you. They see a yid who is a walking pair of tefillin, so to say, then they're terrified of us. Kishem Hashem Nikro Alecha. They're going to be afraid of us. But if they just see a box on our head, so then that's not going to make the goyim afraid. Famous birth of the Vilna Gaon. In any event, we get back to the question of the Gemara. So what benefit do we get from wearing the chut shel tcheles? So this is a famous braisa that Tanya says in the braisa, Hoy Revei Romer, Ma nish tano tcheles v'komin etzivonim. What is special about the tcheles that it was bedavka selected to be the dye that we use to color one or two of the strands? The bachlokas amongst the Rishonim, do we color one of the four strands or do we color two of the four strands? In any event, Ma nish tano tcheles v'komin etzivonim. Why do we color with tcheles this bluish dye that comes from, according to many, we now think that it comes from a certain type of snail called Murex trunculus, and this dye comes out from this snail, and that's what it's referring to. But what benefit do we get? So, manish tana techeles, we call meaning tzavonim, so that nesha techeles domel yam, because this color blue is similar to the color of the yam. The yam, the waters, the ocean, domel rakia, is similar in color to the sky. The rakia, the sky, is domel kisei kovod. It's similar in color to that of the kisei kovod. Shenema, as the pasuk says, vayiru eis elokei Yisrael, v'sachas raglov k'masei levnasa sapir uchietzem shemayim l'toar. So the pasuk says, the Klai Yisrael saw in the Midbar, they saw that, so to say, v'sachas raglov, underneath the feet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was like the masei of livnasa sapir, was like a certain type of sapphire brickwork, uchietzem shemayim l'toar, and like it was in shemayim pure. And therefore, it says, Uksiv kemare evin sapir dumus kisei. And the appearance of these sapphires was like the appearance of a throne. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne has this color like techeles. And therefore, the great benefit that we get when we are looking at the tzitzis is it makes us think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, makes us think of all the mitzvos, and therefore that is the great benefit that the tzitzis, the tchelis, provide us with. With that, we segue into the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Eino Kosev, when the Kohen has to write down the psukim of the Sota, he's not allowed to write them down. Eino Kosev, lo ala luach. He can't write them down on a tablet. Luach, Rashi tells us, is wooden tablet. Luach shel eitz. Likewise, he can't write them on lo al hanir, like on a piece of paper. Now, it doesn't really mean paper. It means some sort of papyrus. As Rashi says, Niyar, the last Rashi, tells us, Shel Asovim. It was made of a certain type of grass, papyrus. Shekotshin, that they would go crush it. Umadvikin oso bedevek, and they would glue pieces of it together with a certain type of glue called glid. But osin kamo'or, they would make it like into a leather. And you're not allowed to go and write the words of the Sota, the parish of the Sota, on this, because it won't erase well. So writing it on wood, it won't erase well. Writing it on this niyar, this papyrus, it won't erase well. Below al, and not on, and we turn to Yitzayin on the base. Also not on something called diftera. Rashi tells us diftera is a leather or ore. She'eno mu'uvat called sorcha. It isn't fully tanned. The process hasn't been done. As Rashi says, that it wasn't muvat called sorcha. It wasn't fully tanned because dimo liach, it was salted, vikomiach, and it had the flour put into it. However, below office, it didn't have this golna juice, which they would add, shima'avdin haklof, and they would add this to the cloth as part of the tanning process, biafats, and these golnuts, shakorin glish, certain type of juice that they would put into it. So this diftera wasn't the full-fledged parchment, and it would absorb within it the ink, and therefore you wouldn't be able to erase it well. What should you write the psukim of the Sota on that erase well? El ala megillah, on a full cloth. And it has to be done on a cloth that can be erased. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, ba sefer, you have to write it in a sefer, which is a reference to, as Rashi tells us, cloth, a full cloth. Likewise, the Mishnah continues and says, Eino kosev lo b'komus, you're not allowed to go and write with komus. Komus, Rashi tells us, is srap, it's sap ha'ilon. Umeticho b'mayim, they would go and put it into water, b'kosev b'menu, and then they would write with it. But this wasn't a type of writing that would be erased. It would get absorbed into the cloth, and therefore you weren't allowed to write with this because it wouldn't erase. So don't write with this komus. And likewise, lo b'kankantom, Rashi tells us, kankantom is something known as vitriola, or something called as ordiment, these are foreign language words, and it means a type of ink that will get absorbed well into the parchment and won't be able to be erased. And likewise, not with any other type of ink, below b'chol davar shiroshem, as Rashi tells us, the nivla b'klap, these types of inks that will get absorbed into the parchment, then you're chalim koch, and you can't erase it. And the kumus and the kankantom are abdi roshem, they get embedded into the parchment and won't be erased. So therefore, they can't be used to write the parchment on the parchment, the psukim of the Sota. What should you use? El Bedio, the regular ink. As Rashi tells us, Shalanu, this is our regular ink, Shalsraf, made out of sap, and they would go and use this ink, which wasn't absorbed within the parchment, would be on top of the parchment, and could be easily erased. And that's because the pasuk says, Shenemar, Umocha, the Kohen has to go and erase it. Right, it says because of eso alo soela hakoyim basefer umocha el mehamor. He has to then erase it into the waters of the Sota, and that's what the pasuk says. Kisav shiyochol imochus. It says umocha. It means a type of writing that can be erased. Amar Rava. Rava tells us a whole bunch of series of things now that are essentials for the scroll over here that you're writing the psukim of the Sota on. So the first one is Amar Rava Megillah Sota. This Megillah that you have to write the psukim of the Sota on, shekasova b'layla. If you were to write it at night, psul, it's no good. Why is that? Because we have the following zereshava. My timer, the reasoning is, what's the reasoning? Asya Torah Torah, we have zereshava from Sota to zereshava from Dinim. It says over here by Sota, k'siv hachavi also la'koin eis kol ha'torah hazoz. The Kohen has to go through this entire process, this kol ha'torah, and we say over there as well, uksiv hasim, it says, in regards to din, al pi ha'torah, asher yerucha, it should be by the Torah that you shall teach, the alamishbot, and the dinim, and on the judgments. So, just like judgment is only done during the day, din Torah can only be done during the day, ma mishpot bayom, just like din Torah, judgment, mishpot has to be during the day, and that's HaTorah Sheyerucha is during the day, so too, af Megillah Sota has to be written bayom, has to be written during the day. That's the first drasha that Rava gives us. Another one, he continues with many other drashos, Ksava l'mafreya psula. If you write it backwards, if you write the words out of order, out of the right sequence, so then it's no good. Rashi points out whether you did all of it or only even a small part of it. If you write it backwards, out of order. So you write word number four before word number three. Rashi gives the example. If you write the pasuk Yerech v'lanpil beten latzbos b'meyach, which is the exact backwards way, it should be written b'meyayich litzbos beten v'lanpil yarech. So you wrote it backwards, so then it's no good. Because the pasuk says, "Dichsiv chasav esalosa ela," in that order, ki dichsiva, as it is written. Rava dashes further and he says, "Ksava." If you write it kodem shetkabel shvua psula, we said the order was that first you have to make her swear, and after she swears, she says amen, amen. So then you write it down. So if you were to write it down first and then she swears psula, it's no good, because again the pasuk says shenema first v'hishbia, and only afterwards v'achakach it says v'kosav. Another drash of Rabbah, kosva yigeres psula. If you write it as an igeres, Rashi says below sirtut. You don't write it with the lines etched out. The way a Sefer Torah is written is you have to have an etching out in the parchment for each line, so all the lines will be in an orderly fashion, and they won't be run-on lines. They'll all be perfectly parallel to each other. So if you write it as an igeres, in other words, without these etchings, without sirtut, so then it's no good. Why is that? Because b'sefer orachmona, the Torah says it has to be like a sefer Torah, which requires sirtut. As Rashi tells us, b'aloch l'mosh b'sinai, this is aloch l'mosh b'sinai, shasfar b'sefer Torah tzrichin sirtut. So too, the Megillah Sota requires sirtut. We go a little bit further. We turn to Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Another drash of the Rabbah tells us, if you write it kisava al shnei dapin psula, if you write it not in one column, but you write it even on one klaf, on two columns, or certainly if you write it on two columns, two different klafim. So, as Rashi says, kedafin shel sefer Torah, hasuyim amudim, that there's each pillar, each column of a sefer Torah, it's no good. It has to be all in one column. Why is that? Because it's sefer echad marchmona, lo shnayim v'shlosh svar. It has to be clear it's one column, one sefer, and not have multiple svar. And finally, the last thing that Rava teaches us in today's share is kosav osachas, umachak osachas. So if you write the entire sefer, and then you write it one word at a time and erase it, because of osachas, umachak osachas, then you write the second letter and you erase it. You write the next letter and you erase it. So ultimately, you did write the entire parsha that you have to write, whether it's like Rav Meir, like Rav Yossi, or like Rav Yehuda from our Mishnah. You wrote the opinion that you had to write as much as you did, but you didn't write it all together. It wasn't all down on the paper, on the parchment at the same time. You wrote a letter and you erased it. You wrote a letter and you erased it. So at the bottom line, you wrote all the letters, and now they're all erased, but they weren't all present before you erased them. So Rava says that's no good as well, psula. Why is that? Because the pasuk says, Zichsiv, the Osalah Kohen, Etz Kol HaTorah Azos. The Kohen did the entire thing for it. In other words, the entire Torah has to be written there before he goes and erases it. So these were all statements that Rava made. We'll pick up tomorrow with Bai Rava. Rava asked the following questions. That's what we'll pick up tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's share.